But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
How do you earn the nickname Rush and you don't actually finish? It's stupid.
I have some theories.
You know what? Matter of fact, let me go ahead and call myself Firework and all I do is spit water. Yeah.
Firework and all you do is spit water?
Exactly. Makes no sense, does it?
Well, what if you're spitting hot water or fire water?
Yeah, no. And that's my point. It makes no sense. So why does George St. Pierre have the nickname Rush? Why? For what?
I'll tell you why.
Because he's in a rush to hug you.
I'll tell you why. Because he's a fan of an all-man male metal band. I made Tom Sawyer.
And that means absolutely zero to me. Do you see the color of my skin?
Wait, you're saying because you have a color of skin, you can't like Rush? You can't like Tom Sawyer?
I don't even know who the hell that is, which further proves my point.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Of course you can.
Have you ever played Rock Band?
No.
This is a shame.
I played Rock Band.
How have you never played?
What song is Rush? The only time I've
played Rock Band, I tell you how. I am an African. We don't listen to that.
What? Africans don't listen to heavy metal?
Not this one. And none that I know personally. No.
So 2,000 by 3,000 miles, and no Africans listen to heavy metal.
None that I know personally.
We're not live yet, are we?
Matter of fact,
he's getting embarrassing. It probably is.
I knew that.
I'm getting embarrassing because I'm telling the truth?
That Africans don't listen to heavy metal?
I'm saying that none that I know. Me, personally. I'm not saying that that is the truth across the board. I am saying that this African from Mozambique has never listened to rock a damn day in my life.
You've never, that is what I'm saying. Not even rock?
No. Hell no.
Wait, hold on. Not even Run DMC and Aerosmith?
Really, bruh? Really? Really? This is what we doing? Okay.
Anthrax with Public Enemy, Bring the Noise?
No.
Come on. No. Onyx and Biohazard?
No.
No?
No.
Biohazard.
Come on, Queen.
I thought that was a video game.
I know you saw that John Jones fight. You listened to little Queen, little We Are the Champions.
I didn't listen. Maybe you were, but I wasn't. Listen, brother, it's R&B and soul over here. Period.
So you're telling me you don't listen to anything that's not R&B and soul?
No reggae?
Pretty much.
No reggae?
Not exclusively.
No high life? No soca?
I don't even know what that is, but no.
You don't even know what high life is?
No.
I met an African who doesn't listen to High Life.
Well, I'm not from South Africa. I'm not from Nigeria.
We defy stereotypes on this place. Okay, what else? What other kind of genres do you not or do listen to?
If it's not R&B and soul, I'm not listening.
How far back does it have to be R&B? Is it like, are you talking rhythm and blues like Fats Domino? Or are we talking more like, you know, Brandy, I Want to Be
There? We're talking my lifetime. We're talking my lifetime.
That's what I want to know, because the old school rhythm and blues I can get with. R&B.
So what? Nobody asked you any damn way. Man, I swear.
My life in the sunshine. He's talking about Mary J. driving down MLK on a July afternoon.
I'm not trying to sing anymore, because that was just horrible.
I will say this. Yeah. So we're talking my lifetime, right? Yes. I was born in the 70s. So we're talking about 80s and 90s. And you have to keep in mind that I didn't come into America until 1989.
What was the first R&B song that you sang along to in America?
Ooh. That's a good question.
I can tell you the first station you listened to. I know the first radio station.
KBLX, The Quiet Storm.
That's probably a fact.
I just want to know how you feel.
That is
feeling
probably
good,
a fact.
Feeling fine.
That is probably a fact.
And Nina Baker.
He says if it's not R&B and soul, he won't listen to it. But he was cracking up when Sean Price said he cut off his afro because it was played out like them leather jackets with the tassels.
Yeah, I laughed at it because it was a dope line. But that was the first time I had ever heard it.
And
because
it's pee.
Body.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, listeners far and wide, abroad, out there on the YouTubes, the interwebs, the anchors. If you haven't figured out, we are Cage Against the Machine, the Round Zero. MMA for the urban mindset and African diaspora. We bring the best of hip-hop culture, city living, and a thing that's close and dear to our hearts, mixed martial arts. Wherever you are, whoever you are, like us, subscribe, tune in. If you subscribe and like, that means every time we put our content out, it reminds you. Because if we started doing these Marvel podcasts, I started getting hit with all these Marvel videos. And so I have to tell you, like and subscribe, tell your friends, because that's what everybody else does. Lot going on in the world. We're here to celebrate, talk about UFC 240, which is Holloway versus Edgar. Before we do that, you know, we got to catch you up on UFC 239, and we got to talk about some prelims. So, couple, three things that we need to talk about in UFC 239. First of all, Jorge Masvidal's atomic knee.
Woo!
Well, I saw it coming.
Yeah, I mean,
but not like that.
Yes, I did.
No, kind of like that. I mean, no, if you're gonna,
I saw it coming.
If you're gonna destroy a one-dimensional wrestler,
because what I've always said is, you sell out on the flying knee. You even go double knee.
Yeah, which is what he did. It was great. He switched
and, on. And that's what happened.
Which was super necessary.
Yep.
What's next for either fighter? Where do we go with Masvidal? Where do we go with Askren?
Well, Masvidal, obviously he was pushing, he was talking a fight with Voldemort. That got slammed quickly.
Yeah, because Voldemort don't fight.
Yeah, and
he knows he can win.
I see Askren, wow. There are a few fights out there for Askren still, though.
I say you put him and Damian Maia there.
Thank you.
And say,
please.
Okay, you guys like the ground. Let's
please.
See. Let's see.
Please, only one of y'all can be in 170.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Winner has to leave.
Ooh. Ooh.
Do you think they'll give Masvidal a title shot, though? I don't.
I think he should.
I think he has to kill a couple more Dana enemies. Let's see how this goes. But you know what fight Dana always loves? He loves fighting friend against friend. So it's probably Colby versus...
If Colby gets past Robbie, likely will with that blitzkrieg style he has, it's boring as hell.
You think so?
But it's effective.
You think so?
If those hands land, though.
Well, yeah, exactly.
If those hands land.
Yeah, if those hands and feet land.
I think here's the best case scenario for Dana. Here's what he really wants to have happen. Colby versus Masvidal and Askren versus Woodley.
No, which will never happen.
You can't put Askren against Woodley.
He would try. He would try. He would love that. Two training partners. That's the fight he's booked for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that fight.
Yeah.
Moving on, JK called it. Amanda Nunes once again.
In a run through.
Who is she? Is she the bishop of MMA? She has now figured out how to end her opponents with their favorite technique.
Definitely the queen.
She is just like, what Marvel character is she that she can just absorb all these people's techniques and use it right back on them in the first round?
That's a good one.
I wonder who that could be. I'm curious. Why don't you tell us?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Ah, okay.
It just reminds me of like No Mercy when you used to get the special and then you would hit the A and B and do that person's special.
Straight up. Reverse it on it. She's just incredible. And then also, I mean, respect to Holly. She looked impressive. I thought she had a chance. chance.
For the first rapper. 2.5 minutes.
Chance and his brother, rest in peace.
All I'm saying is, if you have to tell people that your name is Chance the Rapper,
Chance the Insult
Dog,
you might
not be rapping right.
And he raps right, though. He raps his butt off. And then finally,
I don't know. I see him on Doritos commercial sounding like a clown.
No, he gets his money though, but he raps. Go back and listen. I'm to not hating. Pablo. Now the final question. Let's see. Tiago Santos. I mean, it looks
Trooper,
like,
man.
I mean, every Trooper. Part of his knee broke, and he. Right. And then I saw some research that said.
Now you want to know the crazy thing about it?
Yeah.
His knee injury was the exact same one as mine.
Wow.
The exact same.
Scary. That much power. And what's crazy, it's almost like he did to himself what Tyron Woodley did to Carlos Condit. What's amazing, though, is, am I crazy? Did Santos win some rounds?
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, I thought he won the fight.
Okay. I was not exactly convinced.
I knew they were going to give it to
we
the
We said
champ,
a month ago yeah. that cheatery was going to happen. We knew mm-hmm. that. I thought he won. We all, okay.
He won the fight.
He won three rounds.
I gave him round 22.
He won three fights. But he won three rounds. But as we know,
you have to finish the champ. You have to finish a champ.
You either have to dominate the champion for five rounds or finish him or her.
Unless it's Cejudo versus Mighty Mouse when they want to get rid of him.
Can we not bring that up?
Just saying.
Can we not?
And we know that one.
Or Rampage versus Forrest. Just saying.
Speaking of which, hey, Cejudo, I'm only going to say this once. Stop talking about trying to fight a girl.
Yeah. It's not funny.
What is that? It wasn't funny.
He's trying to be funny.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it wasn't.
The cringe is real.
Now, I will say this. Henry Cejudo, I respect what he has done in combat sports across the board. From wrestling to now making his name as a mixed martial artist. And now he is a simultaneous two-weight champion. I respect the heck out of it. However, Mr. Cejudo, if you are listening, when you do something or say something that is not authentic to who you are as a person, it comes off rigid, ragged, disconnected, discombobulated. You miss metaphorically, if you miss unintentionally, it is convoluted. Just being honest.
There's a word we use in our culture for it. It's called janky.
And I would even go a different route, because I respect all that, what you said about the combat sports and all he's accomplished. And I respect the dude's sarcasm. He's got some pretty funny jokes, but that right there was just...
I feel like
especially in the times that we're in right now.
Right, we just got in the building. Like that, we just got in the building.
You know what I mean?
We just got people watching the sport. Yeah. We're on ESPN, and you say some joke. Anyways. Hey,
And we're barely starting to get some movement with the female positivity, and you're like, well, let me be down.
Right.
And let's be real, Nunez is going to knock him out if it would.
Yeah, she would. So... what are some prelim fights that we are excited about? Are there any prelims your fights you're excited about?
Excuse me. I had something in my throat. I don't know what it was, though. Ribbit. Ribbit. I don't know.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people on here. I don't even know the fighters.
If we're going to talk about any... particular fight, I guess it would be Jillian Robertson and Sada Fajota.
Interesting you should say that. What excites you about this fight?
It is primarily because these are two premier ground fighters.
Yes, I like your reasoning. I'm going with it.
So they may actually cancel each other out, and then it's going to become a stand-up war. At that point, right, I kind of feel like Fajota is just a slight bit better striking than Robertson is.
Interesting.
Just a slight bit.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what type of improvements Robertson has made there.
Right. And then who do you think is on the ground? Like, I think Froda thinks they're, which is interesting that her last name is Froda. Which kind of looks like Frodo because she looks like an orc, but really it's kind of the love baby of Lil Wayne and Sloth from the Goonies. Oh. So I think she thinks she can intimidate her, but the mistake is you're going up against Robertson, who trains with Dean Thomas, whose jokes is intimidating enough.
Right.
So
Who do you think is the better ground fighter on this?
Ooh. Yeah. It's razor close.
Yeah.
It's razor close. But if I had to pick, I would take Robertson.
Yes, I'd agree.
I would take Robertson.
By blood choke. Agreed. Okay. Another fight that I'm very excited about. Special shout out to Hakeem Dawoodu. Is that how I say it?
Dawoodu.
Where is Dawoodu from?
Canada, but that is a Nigerian name.
Nigerian name, thank you.
Yes.
Nice.
I just wanted to shout out the brother. But the one I'm really excited about is this Gavin Tucker versus the Sting, Seong Woong Choi. Probably butchered
well
the name.
Well done.
Thank you. Anybody who names himself Sting. Sting! I mean, what do you expect him to do? He probably stuns people with his strikes and then puts it, you know, like, even notice the South Koreans like this phrase. They like stun gun. They like this idea. They've been proving themselves lately. So I really think this one is going to be exciting. I could be wrong.
There's going to be some fireworks. However, Choi has zero ground game to speak of.
So is Tucker a ground fighter? Is he obviously he's better if Choi has zero ground game.
Tucker is the more well-rounded fighter of the two.
But if he gets stung, then he can take it.
But switch Choi levels. Choi got fireworks in them arms and legs, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nice.
He got fireworks in them arms and legs. However, on the other end of it, I don't really think he should be fighting at 145.
Mm.
I think Choi should be a 155er. But
yes, okay.
You know how it is when you're young. You can make that weight.
No, you can't. Just pay for it later. That's why they have injuries later.
Yep.
You can't pay.
It's true. Yep. Not going to say they're not hard-headed, though.
No. Well, that's the sport, man. They'll clean it up. You know what time it is, Cage Cousins. We're going to take a break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back with our next segment. I am the Sweet NBA. I am lucky and honored and happy to be joined by my co-host,
the Dr. J.K. Atkins.
And as always...
Brain damaged one.
What is this, like 4 years now? What is this, Double D? How many years we've been doing this?
It's been a minute. Yeah, four years, maybe?
Man. We arrived. Oh, we arrived. Special shout out before we go to commercial to somebody, as everybody knows, close and dear to my heart by the name of the Stylebender. His response to that knee.
Just give him a title shot already.
Everything that we had been talking about for the last 4 years has started to happen with that young man. I just really appreciate who you are for just being who you are on camera. We're going to take that break. By the way, shout out to Double D for recording, engineering, getting this great setup. I'm going to get us a new table soon. We'll be right back. Holler. And we are black.
Sort of.
Diversity, inclusion. These are what we do. This is Cage Against the Machine, round zero. We are celebrating and discussing the upcoming UFC 240, which consists of Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar. I am the Sweet NBA. I'm joined by the Brain Damage, as well as the nefarious but wonderful Dr. J.K. Atkins. We are, Atkinsonses.
UC.
Brain damages.
We are going to discuss the main event or the main card. Before we do so, I'd like to talk about two things. First is we will be in the building at Seawolf watching the fight. Come down. Please come and join us. It's a great festival. And thanks to the efforts of one Deshaun Davis and the weight loss of one Mr. Sweet, there is a paleo menu being added for fighters.
Really?
At Seawolf. Oh, yes.
That's pretty dope.
We have gone from an empty room to a crowded room, and now we're getting a paleo menu. What else can't we do? Special shout out also, one of the security guards who works there, a wonderful young lad by the name of Shay. Unfortunately, somebody made the mistake of driving a full car into this man while he was walking and put him in the hospital.
Damn.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but America kind of has a healthcare crisis. So it's kind of expensive once
just
you get
a
hit
little
by a car.
Bit.
We are really glad to hear that Shay is well, that he's up and smiling. but I don't expect that you would have to pay your medical bills by yourself. So at Round Zero Cage, we want to sponsor this. So we're going to put up a link for you guys. If you could donate anything, help it out. It goes to a good cause of another human being being alive who does good things. So moving on, we're going to start with our first fight, which I'm pretty sure I can't pronounce. Okay. You're going to help me because you know how to speak the language of the colonizer.
Damn.
Well, it's true.
We have a middleweight bout between Marc André
Barnot.
Barnot?
Barnot.
There's not even an N.
Yeah. I guess it'd be like that sometimes, huh?
How do you think I got this outrageous French accent, you silly actor king? Versus, your guess is good as mine.
Probably Christophe.
Christophe Jutko.
Close enough.
Okay. Interesting. I had to do some research. I kind of like tried to be like JK and actually do some research this time for these guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
Good job, because I didn't get to do no studying on this one.
Yeah. I don't even know what my research said.
I've seen Joko fight before, but I can't recall.
But Marc André's nickname is Power Bar. How can he lose?
Well, I tell you how he loses. It's his UFC debut.
That sounds like someone's being fed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why is he on the pay-per-view if it's his debut?
Because this is in Canada and he's a Canadian fighter.
Right. They needed a Canadian. Right?
I've been wondering. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You could tell. You could just look.
For some reason, Canada loves Max fighting up there. Or Dana loves it. Or Max loves it. Somebody loves it. But yeah. Max is always fighting in Canada.
Also, you know what?
We stand on guard for thee.
I like Max a lot, but you know what his favorite basketball team is, right? Yeah. We all have disappointments. So, and also,
who is his favorite basketball team?
The Lakers, right?
No. They're a Canadian team.
Oh, the Raptors.
Yes. Oh, okay.
You kind of don't remember the whole line from a soft rapper who sings?
Oh, you went there. Okay.
You soft.
You went there.
I've never heard none of his music, so I wouldn't know.
You went there.
It's because you don't like soft things.
Right.
I should name. Okay.
Pause. That was definitely a pause.
As opposed to there's something in your throat. And I gave you a pass. I gave you a pass. How dare you get defensive? All right.
So I wasn't getting defensive.
So clearly,
why would I get defensive?
Yeah, the clapback is real. Hey, look, if we're going to have fights in Canada, we have to expect that TriStar is going to put their best and brightest in there. So that's what we're seeing.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, so we got a bunch of TriStar. So we'll see on Saturday night.
This is their home and native land.
Right. Is it a tri-star or a try-hard? Dad jokes. So I'm going with Power Bar. Pause. You're going with Christoph.
Well, I don't really know. I guess I'll take Jato, but...
Jato.
I don't really...
know what to base it off.
Joko? I don't know.
Fair.
By root. All I know is this next guy looks like his name is Soryukin.
He looks like
Soryukin.
He looks like an EDM DJ. Moving on to our next fight, we have OAM Olivier.
Olivier.
Alvin
Mercier,
aka Josh Shia's favorite fighter.
Every year.
Versus Arman
Sarukyan.
Where is he from? Transylvania?
I mean, I'll give you three guesses and the first two don't count.
I'm going to go Dagestan.
But it's Sar, so it's got to be made if it's
true.
It's either, yeah, it's either in that area or it might have to be more Russia. It's more correct. South Russia. Yeah,
Kyrgyz,
South
Kyrgyz. Russia.
Yeah, right. Because Sar, that's the key.
Who got it right?
I got it
right.
It
is Russia.
I'm always right.
Oh.
I'm always right. No, okay.
This
will be. Yeah. What'd you say? I will find you.
Right.
Is that what you're quoting? Okay, so let's just reference it. So I know what you're talking about because you saw my tweet then.
No, I didn't see no tweets.
So that's what Aspen Ladd walked out to.
What?
The Last of the Mohicans.
I have no idea. What?
That's the music she walks out to. What? Is the Last of the Mohicans.
Did you trip what Masvidal walked out to? The Scarface music?
Yeah.
I was already like, dude, but this Aspen was not playing.
Aspen Ladd walked out to Last of the Mohicans.
Yeah.
Ended up as Last of the Mohicans.
Well, did you see her?
Last
did you
see the weigh-in?
Did you see the weigh-in?
No,
maybe not.
She's
shaking.
There's no way in the world you would have thought Aspen Ladd was gonna win that fight.
Right. She's shaking. She just had trouble.
It was bad.
She looked like she was about to pass out.
She could not even hold the water bottle that she was given to.
Got it.
Like she couldn't even get it to her mouth to drink. She needed help.
They had the people holding the curtain, and the guy that was weighing her in was like, just hold your hands up above
wincing.
The things.
Was that
hands
a was
never, wincing?
Hands
was that
was a like,
135?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was wincing when she pulled off her clothes for the weigh-in.
So she needs to do 145.
Yeah. No, she waited until the last minute for the weight cut.
Oh.
That was the first time I had ever seen her have trouble with the weight cut.
You need to go down to the PI. Get down to the PI.
Or you start
call the vice president
earlier and you cut the weight gradually instead of trying to do it on the final week.
You know, at the PI. Forrest Griffin.
Moving on.
Call your girl. All right, so what's going on here? OAM is going to win by a safe, monotonous, boring, and consistent decision. There will be no fireworks. There'll be this is a good time to thank our sponsors. That's what I'll be doing during this fight. Or I'll be ordering...
Thanking our sponsor.
A paleo taco or something. Or checking the tire pressure. Or...
Well, the one thing I know for sure is... Obviously, we know that Aubin Mercier is not... He's durable. He's a durable fighter. He's never been finished.
Yeah.
Saru Kiyan he's a good striker. He has good submission skills. I'm just not sure that he actually belongs in the UFC. Hmm. So, with that being said...
If he doesn't, where does he belong?
Not in the UFC.
But is he a Bellator or is he a PFL?
He might be an LFA.
I was going to ask, is he an LFA?
Maybe. But we'll see. This will be his chance to prove that he belongs on this level.
By the way, big up Jason Jackson, Jamaica's own LFA middleweight welterweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
Big up. Good job.
Yeah, so
nice.
The question here is because Aubin Mercier is not a very good striker. So Saru Kiyan is going to need to take his advantage on the feet early in this fight. Because if he is not able to do that, that is when Aubin Mercier is able to drag a fight along.
I'm not going to lie to you.
And eke out a decision.
Or a possible choke, but yeah.
So you need to be very careful. And because he's never been finished, I don't see that happening now. However, it is my belief that that is the only way that Saru Kiyan can actually win this fight. He's going to have to finish Aubin Mercier.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not even going to lie to you. I kind of just don't even every time you say his name, I kind of assume you're like talking about some Jay-Z quote where he's talking about his shoes he's wearing.
Like, huh? Yeah.
I see videos of this guy training with GSP. I'm like, I'm not going to get a fight. I'm going to get a staring contest. With arms moving.
Hugging time. Hugging time.
Shall we move on?
Moving.
We shall.
Our next fight.
Oh, boy.
Jeff Neal.
Oh, boy.
Versus Nico Price.
Oh, boy.
I struggled with this very much to try to understand.
I did not.
It's very hard to call for me. Neal, by my estimation, has very laser... deadly accurate with his hands. He seems to be able to level armies with his ability to strike. Price, on the other hand, has been able to outmaneuver equally deadly strikers. He withstands damage. He pulls the trigger. And then he also lands flurries and can finish people as they go down. The question is, you know, it's kind of obvious why they put these two guys together before the co-main event. They really expect some kind of like, let's get everybody excited. The question is whether or not Neil can handle the damage.
Yeah, I feel like he's always in a fight where he either knocks somebody out or gets knocked out.
Who, Neil?
Yeah.
Interesting. And
no,
say,
not Neil. Price. Yeah, Nico.
Right.
Nico, why y'all on?
What?
Sorry, it's a Grand Theft Auto thing.
And then Neil, I've never really actually seen take significant damage.
And he's on what, a good 4 or 5 straight?
But I can tell by JK's reaction, he's like, y'all are tripping. This is very obvious.
There is no formula to this. It's simple. Somebody's getting knocked out.
Yeah.
it's that simple. All of the going on the soliloquy, and you know, Dr. J.K. Akinzon Yusey is the master of the soliloquy. I am the master of a soliloquy, but there is no need for one in this case. Somebody's getting knocked the hell out.
Knocked out.
Okay? That simple.
No soliloquies about it.
There's no salt. There's no pepper. You don't need no seasoning. It's just right there in front of your face.
Sounds like you're eating at some of my relatives' house.
Probably.
I was going to say, no need for seasoning. Since when?
I will not be trying that chicken.
Right.
I will be going around the corner.
You said somebody named Karen made that potato salad? Yeah, hard pass.
Did it have raisins?
Oh.
Sounds like no need for seasoning. Sounds like Double D's old barbecues. Yeah, but why don't you
fired.
Why don't you come over and watch me put a piece of meat on a grill and dump a container of barbecue sauce.
Sweet, if I were you, I would be very careful before your mic gets cut. I would be very careful.
Censorship. You know? He know the truth.
Just put a little edit over his mouth every time.
His cooking game sucked. He knows.
Well, Mr. Deshaun Davis, I am proud of you for not cutting his microphone. That is very mature of you.
You need to be proud of me for being able to cut the meat he's cooking. This fool put a whole steak on the barbecue, pour some barbecue sauce on it. I'll be like, is it done yet?
I want my baby back real.
Just teasing him. He's like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, oh, it's been 3 hours.
Sauce.
Is it possible the sauce you poured on it put the coals out? Life of a young man. I was once one. Then I started dating my wonderful wife, and she started teaching me that just because you put something all the way on high on the stove doesn't mean it's cooking. Just means
yes,
the outside.
It just means that the outside is charring. Wait, you didn't know that before?
What you talking about? I've been working this Foreman grill for years, woman.
So
I make the illest Costco turkey burgers.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have just been given an insight that Mr. Sweet did not know prior that the food was burning, but it was dead ice cold inside.
No.
He didn't know.
I had strong breakfast game, weak dinner game. I respect it.
The chicken basket is full of
goal-oriented.
Black chicken, and then you open it up and you see
goal-oriented.
Red in the inside.
That man said, girl, what red you talking about? This is Louisiana blackened.
No, I was
Cajun blackened.
I was all about the brunch food because I was like, you staying over, right? Wink, wink.
Okay, all right. I can dig it with a shovel.
You make me dinner, I got your dessert, and then I got you for breakfast.
Absolutely. See you in the morning.
All right.
So.
Tales of a divorce.
Somebody's going to get hurt really bad in this fight. I don't know who it is, but somebody's going to get knocked out. Who do you think is going to get knocked out?
I'm going with Neil on this one.
Okay.
And Price is going down in a second.
Is it me or does Neil look like every single security guard at the Metreon? Moving on. Okay. We are now moving on.
It could be.
To our co-main
event. Mr. Davis, would you mind answering that question?
He don't know. He don't go to the Metreon.
No?
Okay. I haven't been in the Metreon since...
He don't go to the Metreon.
I haven't been to the Metreon in about 15 years.
The aughts. That's what I'm going to call it. The aughts.
The aughts?
Yeah.
Oh. 2000. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That crazy. Oh, that crazy museum made of styrofoam. Man, we should never gone there under the influence. That place scared me.
Man, do you remember how every time we'd go see the Matrix at Metreon, our bikes would get stolen?
Yeah, that's why I stopped riding bikes.
Right.
We are now at our co-main event, which is one Cristiano Justino Cyborg versus Felicia Spencer. This one is... I don't know how I want to bring this up.
It's pretty simple.
I think
it's another simple one.
I think what's going to happen is simple for me. How I feel about it is complex. Cyborg is a pioneer of MMA, maybe the pioneer of MMA, and has been beyond supportive of our show.
Indeed.
So there is a part of me. I'm not like JK. JK is like, whatever, let the numbers fly. Let the best man win. I'm like, that's cool too. But I'm also like, you my mama. And I root for my mama, right? Okay.
Which is why I'm the analyst, by the way.
I knew that Luke Rockhold didn't stand a chance, but I'm going to still ride for my dude. Okay, so.
Tried to say it.
You have in Cyborg this problem. There are certain knockouts that happen you never truly get your chin back from. I've only seen one person have a chin after that knockout. Everybody else in this sport seems to get worse and worse and worse until they are forcibly told, you are on the road to brain damage. Please stop fighting. Okay?
Right.
The chins do not improve. To quote Cody Garbrandt, you cannot condition your chin. After the devastating...
Interesting that that would come from him.
Well, he speaks from experience.
Right. And then he still goes there and goes, let's go.
There's this concept called fight IQ.
I was just going to say...
And then there's this other thing called IQ.
I was just going to say normal IQ, but... Okay.
Right, right. So there's two different things, and he wasn't displaying either one.
So with Cyborg, this complication comes in where she has been obliterated. I don't know if she's...
No real complication here, really.
I don't know if her chin will withstand any more strikes after the nuclear holocaust that Amanda Nunes did to it. Then you have Miss Felicia Spencer, who is an Invicta champion, who is an accomplished grappler, would you say?
The accomplished grappler.
The accomplished grappler. So let's say that Cyborg knows she can't take a punch. And as she starts getting damaged on the feet, she goes to the ground. I believe in this day and time, Spencer is the superior grappler. And this fight will end by submission, sadly.
Wow. I'm actually shocked.
Yeah.
The question for me is, can Spencer get it to the ground? Because if she can't, it doesn't matter what Justino's chin is like. You're not beating her in a stand-up war. Not this young lady. Not this particular lady. You're not beating Justino in a fist fight. Just not going to happen. I'm sorry. So, can Spencer get this to the ground? I'm going to say probably not. So I am going to take Justino by knockout.
And to what you're saying about the whole chin thing, once your chin gets destroyed, it's never the same. But nobody hits like Amanda hits. So if it was a rematch, then I'd be with you. Then Cyborg is basically, you're in a firefight with some dynamite and you're going to get knocked out. Felicia Spencer doesn't hit like Amanda hits. So I'm going leaning towards what JK is saying. She has to get this fight to the ground to get to her strong point. And
but if she does.
She has to close the distance. And to do that, you might have to absorb some strikes. So,
but if she does get it to the ground, then Justino's finished.
Yeah. That's what I'm going with. Because when you said, when the first started talking about this and you said it's simple, I was like, hopefully he's not saying both will get knocked out. But. It's basically either Cyborg by knockout or Spencer by submission. Yes. I don't see this fight going to decision.
Yeah. Either way.
I just don't. Those hands. We'll see. And also keep in mind, Cyborg's a free agent right now. It's in.
This is her last fight on the contract, right?
It is in the UFC's best interest to make sure she has a difficult fight. Let's put it that way. We're going to take another break, pay some bills. We will catch you in a second. I am the Sweet MBA. I am here with
Brain,
as well as
Dr. J.K. Atkins and UC.
Our entire podcast is produced and given to you and distributed through Double D, Deshaun Davis, the Dream Air Productions. And we will be right back. And we are black
and brown.
Very.
Sometimes. Depends on if this is a scholarship.
Which box are you going
to
check?
This segment is brought to you by our sponsor, Whole Foods, the great maker of Andre 3000 mixtapes and the place of the Masvidal-Askren fight number 2.
No three-piece in the soda. You get the whole MGM buffet to the face.
You can get... They don't even have those, but you can get a...
They got them in microwavables
now. You can get gluten-free burritos there.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll have to hook you up. Yeah, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you how to eat right at Whole Foods. Don't eat at the hot counter for 2 reasons. You don't know how long that food's been out there.
Just saying.
And look at all the people who put their hands in it. Secondly, just saying. Look at the people you see eating at Whole Foods.
And by the way, by the way, that's why I never eat at buffets, but this guy does.
Dude, we was literally just talking about that at the tattoo shop.
I only eat at select buffets.
We was just talking about that at the tattoo shop.
Same crap in a different toilet.
No, it's not like I'm going to be at like Hometown Buffet in Fremont, son. It's not that. Never. I'm going to be at buffets where there's security guards. Let's put it that way. You know, in a city that you love to live in called Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, a guy like me, I don't really do buffets.
I know. Ever since I switched up, I don't do buffets. But I did hear about a vegan paleo buffet in Vegas that I'm ready to try.
It couldn't be on the Strip.
So I go to the Indian Probably buffet not. Where he is constantly coming and bringing new trays right there and there in front of me.
Yeah, this guy here. This guy here. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, the 5-star hotels. I just don't do buffets. I'm sorry, I can't. Won't.
Yeah, we were just talking
can't
about
stop,
that.
Won't stop.
Shout out to Street Dreams Tattoo in San Francisco. Go there, tell them Brain sent you.
Did they pay us?
Street dreams are made of these.
Right.
It's at the Wynn. But that's not on the Strip, right?
Really? No, the Wynn is on the Strip.
Okay.
And where in the
Wynn? I wouldn't know.
Because I stay at the Wynn. And, you know what?
I wouldn't know because
I haven't
been there sober.
I probably saw it and walked by.
I haven't been there sober.
That makes sense.
I have a witness. I have never been in the city of Las Vegas sober, so I wouldn't be able to tell you where it is.
I mean,
and the only strips I know about are chicken strips.
Although I will say the Wynn does have a very amazing bar at the bottom called Plush.
That is also true.
Was it beneath your wings, though?
No. Again, I'd like to try Vegas sober. That would be interesting.
I'd like to try Vegas not sober.
I'll show you the way around.
We're gonna do this next year.
Yes,
we'll be officials. It is now that time. Your favorite time. Your favorite segment.
Oh yeah.
Are you ready? It is now time for
the main event of the evening. Introducing first. Fighting out of the blue corner, it is the man hailing from New Jersey, a former All-American wrestler. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the former 155-pound champion of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Frankie the Answer Edgar. And the champion fighting out of the red corner. The man hails from the Hawaiian Islands. He is the 145-pound champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen, Max Blessed Holloway.
I've always been the smaller, outnumbered, indomitable fighter most of my life. And that's pretty much the essence of Frankie Edgar and everything you gotta like about this guy. He's never supposed to win. And then on top of which, he has this elite camp. Gives you the ranges from Eddie Alvarez to Zabit to Muslim Sokolov to Corey Anderson, Thomas Almeida, Ricardo Almeida, right? Mark Henry's genius. You know, who is actually owns a pizza restaurant. That's generally how you can tell when coaches are really about their business, because they don't get their money off their fighter.
Right.
And so you have to respect Frankie Edgar's story of everything he's gone through, especially those fights against Gray Maynard.
And you said Barbosa bounced from him, huh?
Yeah, he's down in Florida now. He's down in ATT. You know, however, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Max Holloway is the upgrade. He is the epitome of moving the sport into the new era. He is the first entry into this is what MMA is going to look like for the next 10 years. He has the boxing of a Diaz with their cardio.
Right.
He has the defensive grappling of a Cormier. And then he brings in a certain new level of innovative kickboxing people haven't seen. And if you need a reference for that, check out the bottle cap challenge he started.
Right.
This is the man who made Ortega's corner throw in the towel, right? So if I play by MMA math, Ortega knocked out Frankie in the first round.
Right.
It's going to be dangerous to watch. But this is also a Holloway who just lost to Poirier and lost his ability to be a double champ.
Right. Which, and by his 11-fight win streak.
Which, by the way, is his second time losing
Poirier. Come on. So.
Right.
This is not an individual who went back to the gym defeated. This is somebody who went back to the gym and said, I'm going to put on some new levels. This is only going to make him angrier, hungrier, and more focused. Holloway by second round KO.
I noticed something very interesting. What I noticed that about this fight is the one thing that Frankie Edgar has always had trouble with are guys in the smaller weight classes with long reach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this is Frankie Edgar battling Ortega all over again. However.
Yeah.
Frankie Edgar's superior boxing and wrestling skill can be the difference in this fight, but only under one condition. And that condition is Edgar's ability to use his footwork to get inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Edgar does get his hands on Holloway, Holloway's going down. He's not going to be able to fight off those particular takedowns. One of the things that I look for Edgar to do in this fight is actually use the threat of the takedown in order to get inside and use short range in the phone booth boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that.
Because he is so good with the short left hook.
Yeah.
He's very good with the short left hook, and he's very good with a close range rear uppercut. So that is the game plan that I see for Edgar going into this fight. And I also expect that he will use that short range boxing in order to also set up leg kicks.
Hmm.
One of the things that we have yet to see is Max Holloway being threatened by leg kicks.
Right.
You must nullify Holloway's movement in order to have a chance to win the fight. If you are not bigger than Holloway, like we saw with Dustin Poirier, you have to be able to nullify that movement. More specifically, you must use the inside leg kick because everyone sees the outside leg kick coming.
Right.
So he must not only use the inside leg kick, but he must go a little higher
with the inside leg kick around the quad area. Because if you are not able to land the higher inside leg kick, if you try to go low on those, Holloway can see them coming and then scoop. Nullify those particular kicks. So you need to be very careful with that, right? And obviously, those are the two things, because Frankie Edgar is so short with range. Those leg kicks also must come in the phone booth. And I expect that we will also see that he will also try to use knees inside.
Yeah.
That's what I expect. Uh-huh. Holloway must keep Edgar at the end of his punches. If he does not, he will find himself losing this fight. That is a fact. One of the things that is interesting about Frankie Edgar, we need to remember that this man won the 155-pound championship.
Yep.
He was fighting at 155 pounds for 10 years when he had no business doing so.
Right.
And it wasn't like he was fighting some suckers either.
Exactly.
Right. So
the cream of the crop at 155.
So this was going to be my point. I'm glad you brought that up, because for me, I've always been also a Frankie Edgar fight. I've always... The only time I rooted against him actively, there were three fights. Right?
Okay.
And how did he win that first 155 champion? By beating one of the greatest 155ers of all time in BJ Penn. Close fight. I felt like, as we seen with the Jones-Thiago Santos fight, you got to beat the champ to be the champ. That was a close fight. I felt, you know, obviously I'm biased. I felt BJ should have won. Second fight, Frankie just outclassed him. And the third fight was just, it should have never even happened. Mm-hmm. So now, Max, us Hawaiians, we have a lot of pride. So when we take, one of the greatest Hawaiian fighters of all time, you beat him three times. You beat him to be the champion in a division you was not even supposed to be in fighting to begin with. So Max has to, I know in his heart he wants to avenge that loss by a Hawaiian. But he cannot put that into his emotions in this fight. He has to go out there and be Max Holloway, not, I'm going to avenge the Hawaiian pride and beat this Italian from New York and do it for BJ Penn. No, he has to take all that and throw it out the window, get it out of your head. You need razor, laser, sharp focus to beat a guy like Frankie Edgar. And I agree with everything JK said. He broke it down. That's the perfect way, right? And... let's be real. This is the third time this fight has been booked. Both of them had to pull out once each.
Yes.
So there's some, there's a lot of mutual respect, but there's some, I'm sure these guys are itching to get at each other.
One of the things that there is also cannot happen. If you are Max Holloway, the one thing that cannot happen is you cannot get undisciplined with mm-hmm. your striking game.
Not with a guy like Frankie.
You cannot get undisciplined.
He will expose
because
it.
You will get clipped. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee.
And that's the difference is what you were saying about Frankie with the leg kicks. Max Holloway doesn't have that in his arsenal for this fight, because Frankie will catch that leg and bum rush you, and the next thing you know, you're on your back.
Yes.
So that now it's down to straight boxing and possible jiu-jitsu, because we know this fight's going to go to the ground.
And also one of the things that Frankie Edgar is very good at that I feel like he doesn't get the credit for is once he gets a guy on the ground, they don't get up.
Right? Yeah.
And I don't think that people realize that when they're watching him. Frankie Edgar, for being so small, is very heavy on his hips. Extremely heavy, and his ability to control the ground exchanges is what makes him special. It's what makes him special. Now, what makes Max Holloway special is the ability to diversify his game in a way that people cannot see coming.
Right.
He has very unorthodox combinations.
Yep.
The heart of a lion, maybe even to his detriment, to be fair, right? One of the things that also separates Max Holloway is sometimes I just feel like he is knuckleheaded. He doesn't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was to his detriment against Poirier, but against Poirier, it doesn't really matter because it was at 155 pounds.
Right.
Here at 145,
right,
he cannot be hard-headed, though, because once Edgar finds a hole and he exploits that hole, you cannot get so caught on yourself that you're not willing to change your game plan mid-fight.
Right.
So that's gonna be the keys to this fight. I am interested as to see what the game plan for Holloway will be coming in with Edgar, because the one thing that you can't do is you can't beat him with speed.
Yeah, and both of these guys carry tremendous pace, and I think the best game plan for Holloway in this fight is when you said
distance.
He has that boxing distance. Of a Diaz. You need to go 70% punches. You don't go 100% on your punches. Pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter. Pick them apart, tire them down, and then, like, you know, once you got them, and let's be real, Holloway is a little bit of that style of Tony Ferguson, where sooner or later the opponent's gonna end up bloody.
Right. But you see, here's the thing, though.
And when he smells Edgar, that blood, attack.
When you are talking about boxing Edgar, you are not going to beat him in a boxing game. So at some point, he's going to have to try to land the power shot.
Yeah.
But he cannot get undisciplined at that same time.
Right. You have to smell the blood before you go with it. But that's what I'm saying. That pitter, but that's why, like you said, boxing with Edgar, you don't want to get into a firefight. You got to keep him at bay, like you said. If my arms are wet and he can't, his arms are swinging here because he's there, I can't let him get inside. But if I pitter patter, pitter patter, by the third round, I see you slowing down. Wah, 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 wah.
Well, if you look at where he got caught against Ortega, it's trying to get on the inside. It's the inside uppercut.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Saw it coming.
Which is very good at.
And the other thing you got to think about is, And I feel conflicted saying it, but the reality is the reality. Max Holloway has a lot more youth than this guy.
Yeah, so
it's
that
not
is true.
It's not even just about hitting. Like you may not have the same cardio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it'll be an interesting fight. I mean, it'll answer some questions that we needed to have answered for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then after this, you know, if Holloway were to win this fight, where do you go from there? Because at that point, who's left at 145?
Jair, Zabit. Now you got to go into the young breed, right?
Come on. Well, Zabit trains with him, so no. Jair.
With Max?
Yeah. No, with Edgar, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I said if Holloway wins the fight,
where does he go?
But he not ready. Let's put it that way. Jair needs to win some more fights.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just saying. Probably, that's when it's like you've cleaned out the known household names. Now it's kind of like how John Jones has cleaned out the division to where now he has to face an Anthony Smith, a Thiago Santos, a possible Johnny Walker, Dominique Reyes. Like, you're dealing with that young breed now where you cleaned it out. Now you got to start giving these young cats a shot. And like Brian Ortega was really the first. And, you know, to be real, those young guys are going to catch up to you sooner or later.
If Holloway wins, it's probably Emmett next.
Who?
Josh Emmett.
Yeah. Oh, that is good. And that boy can crack.
And that's a good recipe against Max Holloway.
Yeah.
It is. We saw that with Dustin Poirier.
Yep.
But again,
and Poirier's not a knockout artist the way that Emmett is at 155,
though.
It's different. Right.
155.
Right. Very different.
So,
but like you said,
he did
lose to Poirier in his debut at 145 as well.
Speaking of which, we'll be back next month to talk about that, right?
Yes, we will.
That's going to be amazing.
Yes, we will.
I'm really excited. Abu Dhabi, we're back.
Yes. Absolutely.
This has been a blast. We are Round Zero, Cage Against the Machine. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by
the Doctor, J.K. Atkinson, UC.
And the brain's damning one.
The brain damages and the UCs. And everything here is produced, created by the double D's, pause. Deshaun Davis's,
Deshaun's,
pause. Dream Air Productions.
Regis's.
Without further ado, as we do every time.
Chill!